It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Matt Makins. Makins is a meteorologist from Colorado. We'll talk in just a moment. How about first off, Robert Bonney, Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA?
Well, there may be some producers that aren't enrolled in these programs or haven't been participating, so that's one gap. There may be some other things that just by the nature of the programs we miss, right? So in phase two, we'll take a little bit more time to kind of figure out what those gaps are. And producers, we'll hear back from producers after phase one, and that'll give us a better sense as well. But the idea here is because, you know, we want to move relatively quickly, figure phase one, we could do that. And then take a little bit more time on phase two to figure out exactly. We have some idea what those gaps are, but we're going to learn some things.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Matt Makins. Matt is a meteorologist. Let's see, when we say meteorologist, or there's climatologists, there's so many different titles that we can talk about when it comes to weather. Do you fall under all of them?
I think you could say that, yeah. Technically, my degree is an atmospheric scientist, so you could call me an atmospheric scientist, but that's a lot. So, yeah, weather guy works. It's all-encompassing.
I like the weather guy idea there. So, Matt, a little background about you. Obviously, we're here at the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show. Did you grow up in that? What's your path to getting where you are today?
I'm the last of five kids. My dad was a large and small animal veterinarian, and I grew up in literally my brother's bootsteps because they were hand-me-down boots, but did 4-H and livestock judging, was around a lot of hogs, a lot of cattle. My dad was a high-risk buyer occasionally to help the cattle out, and grew up in a community south of Denver that was very ranch-oriented at the time. And actually was mentored along the way by a man named Topper Thorpe, who was one of the leaders at Cattle Facts.
Well, and now you're with, tell us how you're involved with NCBA and Cattle Facts. What's that arrangement look like?
Well, after 20 years of doing weather, you know, I always put high importance on the ag community because weather is so closely monitored, and not just near-term weather. We can react to that. It's the long-term. How do I plan a herd for next year? How do I plan to plant? So that is a different layer to meteorology that people don't understand. You see somebody on your phone or television. Short-term meteorology is a different ballgame. You have to understand the climate, how it works, how everything is connected into these pieces over long term. So you do that largely by self-study. And a lot of that self-study led me to the works of Dr. Art Douglas, who was the legendary forecaster for Cattle Facts for over 40 years. And last year I was approached because he had indicated, you know, my time is, I'm starting to slow down a little bit. Let's find a replacement. And after several months of discussing it with him and the leaders of Cattle Facts, it was a good fit for both of us. I still study with Dr. Art. He's a wealth of knowledge. And as long as he's willing to nerd out with me, we're willing to compare forecasts. But now he's stepped aside, and I've taken over his reins as far as Cattle Facts is concerned.
So glad you brought in Dr. Art Douglas, because when we start talking about things, and we use these terms a lot, La Nina, El Nino, obviously when you go back and look at the history of those phrases and those ideas, Dr. Art is just tied into that so deeply. But it also brings up the point of La Nina. We're kind of getting used to this, aren't we?
Yeah, back-to-back years of having La Nina, and no years are going to be identical. But we all kind of get that itchy feeling when you hear somebody say La Nina's coming back. If you're in the South or Southwest, your heart sinks a little bit. If you're in the Central Plains and North, you do okay. But then you hear El Nino, and then most people get excited because you're spreading water out to a lot more folks. So we are in back-to-back La Nina years, and when you look at a long-term forecast perspective, we base forecasts on history. So let's go back in history. There have been a lot of years that have been back-to-back La Ninas. That's not necessarily weird. To have a third, You could go back to around 2000, 2001, where we had three La Niñas together. So it's not out of the question. But the good news for me, picking up from Dr. Art where we stand today, is that odds are we do not have a repeat La Niña. Now, I may eat my words, and you could talk to me next year about that. But, you know, the odds are that we're going to see a transition into more favorable weather. And I think that's going to take a long time. But for La Niña to come back a third year, that is hard to do. So we should see conditions get more favorable next fall for a lot of the country. Not one is going to be ideal for everyone, but more ideal considering where the drought has been so prolific with the last two La Niñas.
We talk about producers in the Southwest, and now I'm talking about your Oklahoma, Texas. You could throw Kansas in there, New Mexico, Colorado, obviously the other states have learned to deal with drought over the years. But some of our producers in the northern plains have not really had to experience a drought like they have in the last year. Some relief coming for them, maybe?
There will be periods of storm systems that come through to help them out through the spring. It does shut down a little bit this summer, so the timing of storm systems will be more critical this summer than, say, the spring. A lot of these storms are cruising over the Rockies, and then they get some moisture to them around the Corn Belt in the south, southeast, sometimes into Texas, sometimes into Oklahoma, where they're getting some water. But the long term here is just kind of what I just mentioned. The timing of everything is going to be critical, just like it was last year. You know, the drought was moving in over the northern plains into the Corn Belt. There was a lot of concerns about the corn crop and prices early last year. The same situation probably will play out again. But like we saw last year, the timing of things was well worth it for the corn crop. It turned out way better than initial forecasts. The same, I think, can be said for a lot of the grasslands, pastures, for the western areas in the south. Yeah, you're in a bad drought. It's gotten worse recently. But, you know, some producer could walk in right now and say, if I get 2 inches of rain on May 21st when it's 82 degrees, I am set for the season. They know their land. So it will be a timing is critical precip type season, the spring and early summer.
So we've spent a lot of time talking about here today and what's coming this spring, but let's look a little further out. And obviously the further out we get, the harder it is to hit that bullseye. But when you start looking towards next fall, what are you looking?
Most indications, and when I say indications would be like government agencies that forecast the weather around the world. With the exception of the Americans, the NOAA, we all know NOAA, with that exception, everything kind of goes toward neutral, just hangs out near neutral. It may dance between El Nino or La Niña, but generally it's just kind of not making up its mind. Through late January, early February, NOAA modeling indicates La Niña does continue all the way into the fall. But it's an outlier right now. So when you look at the modeling, you have to take a lot into consideration. There's a problem in the weather world when you look at El Nino or La Niña. Those ocean conditions are in the equatorial Pacific, and it's warmer, cold water. Those things don't like to change until you get into our spring. So you get into late February, you get into March, early April. You don't get to that period until you see the ocean start to change. So they're doing what they want right now. They're just hanging out. So look toward March and April for all the forecast modeling to become much more accurate, because you're starting to see the oceans evolve at that point. Until we get there, there's some other conditions. I can look at far eastern Brazil, rainfall patterns there may in some years lean toward an El Nino the following year. Haven't seen that developing just yet, but we're not also seeing the opposite. We're not seeing a rainfall pattern that would mean La Niña for next year. It's kind of neutral there. You can look at the Easter Islands, or Easter Island, which is off of Chile. Similar situation. What's the weather doing there now? It can be an indicator for next year. It's holding kind of neutralish, maybe a little La Niña. Then you can look at New Zealand, same idea. What's the weather doing there now? It can be an indicator for next year. It's kind of saying, I'm kind of neutral on the topic. So that's why most of my outlook built so far, and again, this may shift after March when we see what the oceans are going to try to do, but is leaning into that neutral territory. There's not a strong indicator in any one direction for next year.
So here's a – it's not really a crystal ball question. This is just something that you're dealing with, or maybe you're looking down the road and you're just kind of interested by this, you're kind of excited about this, or it's something that's popped up, no pun intended, on your radar. Is there something that you're watching that we don't normally talk about?
I think it would be the rainfall patterns around Brazil. That's one. The pressure, just like your home weather station gives you your pressure reading, sea level pressure. We look at that for Easter Island, tiny island way off of Chile. Who would have thought that can relate? So watch that area. What the coastline of Alaska into Western Canada does in the spring months can also be a semi-reliable predictor for the following year. So there's little tiny areas, even New Zealand's another one. There's little tiny areas where you look for certain factors, and you can correlate that to next year's forecast. That, to me, is, I don't know, it's staggering to think about how the atmosphere works on that way, that what happens there last year will happen to me this year kind of thing. But that's what gets me excited is, you know, as we go through the end of February into March, I'm going to be looking at all those maps for Brazil. I'm going to be looking at the ocean temperatures, just like, okay, what are you going to do? What curveball are you throwing at us now? And that's what gets me really excited.
So last one here for you. We want to follow along with some of your work. And we mentioned NCBA, we mentioned Cattle Facts. How do we do that?
In both regards, there's a lot of writing, a lot of written articles with seasonal forecasts. For Cattle Facts, they send that to members. And for NCBA, the National Cattleman Newspaper is a product that comes out monthly that will have forecasts in it. Two times a year, there's a magazine called Directions that comes out. Those will have longer-term outlooks. And then NCBA also utilizes some social media things. So you can check their Facebook or Twitter, and you can see maybe an alert of, hey, look out in 2 weeks. Something's coming here that may be cold or may be wet. And we're in a critical time of year where you want the alerts of being too cold. So there's options all across the span, from the long-term written stuff to maybe a shorter-term heads-up, kind of watch out for these weeks ahead.
Great to see you. Wish you the best.
Thanks for having me. Nice to meet you, and hopefully we'll see you next year.
Matt Makins is a meteorologist, weather guy. We're just going to do that from the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
For 40 years, United Ag has been committed to ensuring the vitality of the ag industry. United Ag helps protect your future and the future of your workforce. Join United Ag and take advantage of up-to-date information on pending legislation and immigration reform, advocacy, health benefits, and leadership opportunities. United Ag is here to ensure your farm makes it to the next generation. Join us at www.unitedag.org. That's unitedag.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Matt Makins, meteorologist with NCBA. The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
When Manitou set out to build the all-new MLT 737 telehandler, they built it with your needs in mind. Designed for ultimate efficiency with quick hydraulic movements, a wide range of attachments, and easier maintenance, you'll have time on your hands. And since productivity and comfort are closely linked, you won't find a better place than the cab of an MLT 737 telehandler to get the job done. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Matt Makins, again, meteorologist with NCBA. Follow Makins on NCBA and Cattle Facts.
For 40 years, United Ag has been committed to ensuring the vitality of the ag industry. United Ag helps protect your future and the future of your workforce. Join United Ag and take advantage of up-to-date information on pending legislation and immigration reform, advocacy, health benefits, and leadership opportunities. United Ag is here to ensure your farm makes it to the next generation. Join us at www.unitedag.org. That's unitedag.org.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Chandler Gould is CEO, National Association of Wheat Growers.
I know that wheat, and I was also speaking with corn and soy last week, all three, the three largest commodities, and sorghum there with us, we all go to the Commodity Classic. That's where we're going to start setting our farm bill priorities. So I encourage all of you, the wheat growers in your listening area, to please come to Commodity Classic that first week there in March in New Orleans. But this is a very critical point for the wheat growers when we're going to set those priorities. And then it's really time for the House of Representatives and the House Ag Committee, the Senate Ag Committee, to start scheduling farm bill hearings so we can start looking at what worked in the 2018 farm bill, what do we need to change, and what new authorities or changing of existing programs do we need to be looking at for 2023, because the actual drafting of the legislation should start later this year and for sure at the beginning of next year.